Welcome to the Thrive Forever Fit Show, the podcast that's here to ignite your potential and guide you on a journey towards living your best life. I'm your host, Jay Nixon, and I'm thrilled to have you with us today. On this show, we're passionate about one thing, and that's helping you reach your full potential, whether that's in your health and fitness, relationships, career, or personal growth. We're here to provide you with tools, strategies, and inspiration to thrive in every aspect of your life. Each episode, we'll dive deep into topics that matter most, featuring insightful interviews with experts, thought leaders, and individuals who've achieved extraordinary success. Together, we're going to explore powerful mindset shifts, nutrition and fitness strategies, effective goal setting, mindfulness techniques, and much, much more. We'll break down the barriers that hold you back and help you build resilience, focus, and unwavering determination. So if you're ready to unleash your potential and embark on a transformative journey, this podcast is for you. It's time to embrace your inner fire, tap into your limitless capabilities, and make every day an opportunity for growth and self-improvement. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and empowered to live the life you've always dreamed of. The Thrive Forever Fit Show is here to support you every step of the way. Let's dive in. Before we dive into the show, I want to take a quick moment to talk about the sponsor of this episode. It is very dear and near and close to my heart because it is Lori's company, SpaStar. If you ever had the opportunity to watch someone create something from a thought or a vision and make this magical thing actually come to life, well, then you'll know why I'm so extremely proud of her and why I'm so excited to have her sponsoring the Thrive Forever Fit Show. If you've listened to my podcast, then you probably heard her on episode 259. If you haven't heard that, I would go listen to episode 259 as soon as you finish this episode. She talks about the story of how she created it, the adversity she overcame, the challenges that she worked through, and just the inspirational story that I know you're absolutely going to love. But what SpaStar is, it's a luxury wrap. And it was created as a spa wrap for people who were getting beauty treatments. But what we found out is it is a piece for everyday life. People are wearing it as swimsuit cover-ups, resort wear, just to get ready in the mornings or for that special event. It is the most unique piece. And I've actually worn this thing several times. That was the actual first model for this. Maybe I'll show you guys some photos of that when the time is right. But it is such a cool creation called the Get Ready Wrap by SpaStar. And because you're a listener, you get 15% off today because you support me. So just go to spastar.net, spastar.net, the word spa, the word star.net. And at the checkout, enter Thrive15, T-H-R-I-V-E 15, and you're going to get 15% off of your Get Ready Wrap. So many of my clients already have these and absolutely love them. We're selling them all over the country and all over the world, for that matter, to high-end luxury spas, and to people just like you that are using them inside of their own homes. They're traveling with them. They're using them at the pool. It's so really just unbelievably cool to see and witness. And I'm so blessed to be a part of it. And I'm so blessed to have Lori actually sponsoring my podcast, which I think is really, really cool. So go check out SpaStar. I know you're going to love it. It is the coolest thing ever. And guys, this isn't just for ladies. This is one of the coolest gifts you could get your any female in your life, for that matter. If Lori hadn't have created it, I would buy them for her as a gift to show her my love and appreciation. So dudes, if you're listening and you need to get a gift for your significant other or some special person in your life, go to spastar.net, grab a Get Ready Wrap. There's all kinds of colors. There's black, there's sage, there's a berry color, there's a gosh, I just went blank. There's a kind of a greeny, kind of avocado-y color. Really cool. You're definitely going to love these, I promise. So go to spastar.net, check it out, support Lori. And Lori, thank you for sponsoring the show. All right, let's get to the action. What can I remove or delete without damaging the integrity of the mission? This is one of the questions that I ask myself all the time, as it keeps me in alignment and it keeps me actually moving forward toward the mission, toward the goal, toward everything that it is that I'm trying to create. Hopefully you guys are asking yourself questions all the time. This came to me the other day while I was walking, and it's something that I've revisited for several years now, but it just reappeared and said, Jay, what can you delete? What can you remove without damaging the integrity of the mission? One of the secrets is this: you must be clear on the mission in order to answer this question with certainty and clarity. So what's the mission? My mission is abundance, happiness, joy, love, freedom. It's my own personal human optimization. That is my mission for my life, because I know if I achieve those things, then everything else will fall into alignment. My ability to help people, my ability to be a resource, my ability to be a guide and a mentor and someone that people can use to get further faster. I've had so many beautiful mentors in my life and so many people that have helped me. I feel like it is part of my mission and part of my purpose to actually give back. And so I know that if I'm in alignment, if I'm living in abundance, if I've got unbelievable happiness and joy and love and freedom, that that's Jay's personal human optimization. And that's what I've got to achieve. So the question is this: what can I remove or delete without damaging the integrity of the mission? And here's the reason I ask myself that question is that most people think they need to add things. What can I add to my life in order to get bigger and better and bolder and move faster and move further? What I've found is that it's usually a deletion that makes you better. It's usually a removal that makes you more clear on the mission at hand and allows you to actually be more strategic in your exploration, in your directives, and when you're trying to achieve the most important things in your life. So the quality of your life, this is something I've said for a long time. If you've been listening to me for the last 10 years, I've probably said this a million times, the quality of your life will be predicated on the quality of the questions that you ask. But I'm going to extend that quote a little bit further. The quality of the questions you ask to yourself and the right people, because asking a fool for the formula won't enhance your life. It will actually derail it. So you've got to be very clear on who you're asking and why you're asking that person. And you've got to be really clear on asking yourself and then answering the questions for yourself so that you don't become part of the herd and part of the sheep mentality. So you've really got to have a beautiful line of communication with two people, yourself and people that you respect and value and you look up to, and that people can help guide you and give you the answers to the questions that you don't have. So part of my daily introspection is spent asking myself questions similar to the one that I've posed you today. I ask myself a laundry list of questions. This just happens to be one of them. So let's dive into what I've found that has been beneficial in the elimination or the removal in the enhancement of my life. I'm going to try to keep this short. I'm only going to go through a couple of different versions in a couple of different areas, because if I talk about every area of my life, this would be an hour to 2 hour, 3 hour long conversation. And I want to make sure you get value without becoming overwhelmed. So what I like to do is I like to sort things through a variety of filters so that I can get clarity. Again, I've used that word clarity several times already, so that I can get clarity on the differentiations of why I need to remove something in order to make my life better. And this helps me answer those questions in the various silos of my life that are really important. And keep in mind, I follow my 90-10 rule of life, Jay's 90-10 rule of life, and my discipline equals freedom creed. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to some of my previous conversations and you'll find both of those, my 90-10 rule and my discipline equals freedom. So let's jump in. Let's start with the bucket of wellness. Let's start with the bucket. And in wellness, I talk about nutrition, fitness, and sleep. Those are kind of my three big rocks, if you will, under my wellness heading. Then with regards to food, I want to clarify this before I jump in. With regards to food, I actually don't believe in quote unquote bad foods, only bad decisions when it comes to the quality and quantity of the foods that we ingest. So I think it's important that we dive into that. So I'm going to talk about nutrition first. But before we get really deep in the weeds, when I say no bad food, I'm referring to real, unprocessed, in its original state, created by the OG nutritionist, Mother Nature. And I am talking about food that has been unadulterated, unchanged, and that is in its most natural form. I say all that, but I'm also aware that even the high quality grass-fed, grass-finished meats and the wild-caught seafood and the organic veggies that I'm consuming have all had some form of adulteration based on the psychotic nature of the mass-produced world that we live in today. The soil has been altered. There's things that are sprayed into our environment that are getting in contact with my food. So I'm not calling myself a purist by any nature. But what I am saying is that I do my extreme best to make sure that the food's quality that I'm getting is of the highest level. So when I use the word food, I'm not referring to things that are in boxes and bags and have the ability to sit on store shelves for years. They can survive a nuclear explosion. These aren't foods. These are food-like products that are created in a laboratory, that they're really just a bundle of chemicals that actually resemble food. That's not what I'm talking about when I talk about the word food. So I just wanted to address that. I know that was a bit of a digression, but I felt that it was important to clarify what I mean when I say the word foods. So these are some of the foods that I've eliminated and food-like products that I've eliminated from my life that have made my life exponentially better from a physical and a psychological perspective, because hopefully you guys have been following me and you're paying attention to what I say when I say that food has a not only a physical effect on you, but also a psychological effect. The foods we eat affect our brain and our belly simultaneously. So you're crazy if you don't think that the foods you're eating are affecting the way that you're thinking and behaving. So pay attention to that. So foods that I've eliminated, anything white. So grains, flours, pastas, breads, potatoes, sugar, all snack foods like crackers, chips, veggie chips. I just use air quotes if you're listening and not watching. Crisp, cookies, ice cream, candy, like anything that you could call a quote unquote snack food. I actually don't believe in snacking. I think that if you need to consume food, it should just be another mini meal. And so what I mean by mini meal is that if I need food for sustenance or performance or caloric intake based on caloric output, then my food sources are just real food. I don't snack on things like chips and crackers and things of that nature. My snack would be some grass-fed, grass-finished beef, wild-caught salmon, wild-caught fish, organic chicken, eggs, bacon, something of that nature. It would not be something from a box or a bag. I've removed all artificial ingredients. This includes sweeteners, colors, dyes, flavors, all of that nonsense, all chemicals, if you will. If I flip around a label and I can't read three or four of the things, even one of the things on the label, then I avoid it. Because all that means is it's made in a lab and it's not something that my body wants to ingest. I've removed dairy with the exception of grass-fed, grass-finished ghee and butter. And that's made a massive difference in my life. I've removed nuts. Listen, nuts are healthy. Nuts have a great nutritional profile. They just don't work for my body. And that's part of this conversation is, this isn't what does Jay think I should remove from my life? This is what do I need to remove from my life that is going to make my life exponentially better without degrading the mission at hand. Right. And part of the mission at hand is happiness and enjoyment and all of those things. And so you've got to decide what's right for you. But I know when I eat nuts, I don't feel good. I get gastrointestinal inflammation. I feel bloated. I feel gassy. I just feel gross. So it's something that I've had to eliminate from my life. I've eliminated most vegetables from my life for the very same reason, with the exception of some fermented vegetables. Fermented vegetables don't bother me at all. I don't have any problem ingesting and digesting those. So that's what my source of veggies. As you guys know, I break my fast every single day with my Thrive Daily Elite Greens and a scoop of turmeric powder. That's how I break my fast every day. So I'm getting my 12 to 15 servings of vegetables every single day through that. And I don't have any need or necessity to be consuming vegetables in their whole forms that are giving me gastrointestinal disruption and all kinds of other problems. So I've found a solution for me that works. You've got to find a solution for yourself that works. I've removed all seed oils from my life. Seed oils are unbelievably inflammatory and are going to cause you a laundry list of GI problems, arthritic problems, skin problems, just overall, they're overall health disruptors. So what are seed oils that I've removed? Canola oil, rapeseed oil, corn oil, cottonseed oil, grapeseed oil, rice bran oil, soybean oil, safflower oil, and sunflower oil. I've removed all of those. If you look up how is canola oil processed, and you watch a video on it, you'll never, ever, ever touch it again. If you're ever unfortunate enough to be in a place where canola oil is processed, the smell alone of rancidity, that may not even be a word, the rancid smell of canola oil processing is like being on a pig farm. It will disgust you to no end and you'll never touch it again. So those are just some of the things that I've removed from my life from a quote unquote nutritional perspective that have paid massive dividends without disrupting the long-term mission, which is human optimization, longevity, health, happiness, all the physicality things, movement, all the things that I want to do. And I still have enjoyment. And remember, I said my 90-10 rule. That means that 10% of the time I get to do whatever it is that I want. And by that, might I eat some dairy? Might I have some sugar? Might I have some of those things? Absolutely. But if you look at the equation and you put it into the 90-10 formula, that is inconsequential to the grand scheme, to the end game, the end outcome of what it is I'm trying to achieve. So that's the discipline equals freedom, right? I'm disciplined 90% of the time so that 10% of the time I can do whatever it is that I want and I'm not impacted by those decisions. Let's talk about fitness and movement. What have I removed? I've removed marathon long form training sessions from my protocol. That means I don't work out for hours on end. I don't go to the gym for an hour and a half or 2 hours. I've learned in my older age, my wisdom, that that doesn't serve me, nor does it serve anyone. I've also removed high intensity cardio. So I'll give you an example of what that is and why I removed it and what I used to do. I used to do extremely high intensity cardio, meaning I would do interval sprints on the treadmill at the highest speed for 30 minutes to an hour. I'd sprint for 60 seconds, rest for 60 seconds, sprint for 60 seconds, rest for 60 seconds for an hour. Then I would go get on the stair climber with a 30-pound weight vest on and climb stairs for an hour. I would just do nonsensical things that had a net negative impact on my long-term longevity and probably did me more harm than good, probably caused me more damage to my joints and to my overall physicality than they did benefit. So I've removed all of those nonsensical things from my movement and fitness protocols. I removed all high risk, low reward movements. So what's a high risk, low reward movement? Plyometrics. There's absolutely no sense in me doing box jumps and taking a chance on blowing out my Achilles tendon at almost 50 years old. I don't use a barbell anymore for bench press, back squats, deadlifts. So people are like, oh my God, those are the big three. It's like, yeah, but I can still do those with modifications using dumbbells that allow my body to get in a perfect postural position without the immobility movement that the bar actually puts me in. And there's no sense in me doing that. Like I'll give you an example. I used to power lift in my youth. I had a 450-pound bench, a 605-pound back squat, and a 550-pound deadlift. That is stupid. If I had, you know what all that will get me? Nothing. Zero. Pain. I'm in pain today because I was an idiot in my youth. There's no need for me to be bench pressing 400 plus pounds, putting 600 pounds on my back and squatting, picking up something off the floor that weighs 550 pounds. Yeah, you see it on Instagram and it's cute. All those people are one misaligned movement away from never moving again. Blowing out their back, blowing out their shoulder, blowing out their knees where they'll never move again. For me, I want to play again tomorrow. That's my sole goal. So I removed all high risk, low reward movements. I don't lift heavy anymore. There's no max lifts or fringe weight decisions like to add the extra pounds. I used to do shoulder presses with 90 pound dumbbells. It took everything I had just to get them racked onto my shoulders. That is so silly. Now I've got shoulder pain because of stupidity when I was younger. So these are things I wish I would have known when I was in my youth so that I could have preserved myself a little bit better. So I've eliminated those and it doesn't affect the end game. I'm healthier. I'm aesthetically in better shape. I'm actually in physical, mental, and everything. When I say aesthetically, meaning like I look better now that I don't do that crazy stuff than I was when I was lifting all those gigantic heavy weights. So you don't have to lift those heavy weights in order to quote unquote look good in the mirror. And you also don't have to lift those giant heavy weights like that in order to be physically fit and have a great physicality. So I've got rid of all those. I gave up running. Why? I used to love to run. But as I'm getting older, I'm in preservation mode. I'm in longevity mode. It doesn't serve me to go pound my knees and my feet and my hips and my joints in order to serve what? I've realized that I can get the same benefit with minimal impact on my joints. So I don't need that. I don't need to get out on the streets and beat myself up or get on the treadmill and beat myself. Remember those sprints that I talked about earlier? Not only did I do sprints, but I used to go for 5 mile runs because it was therapeutic and I loved it. Now I can get that same benefit from a 6 mile walk, from a 3 mile walk without the impact on my joints. I've given up unstable, unsupported joint movements, like using things like the Bosu ball. You know, that ball you kind of stand on and you're unstable. I've realized over time that there's no need for me to do unstable, unsupported movements like that because the cost ratio is not there. Like the benefit to possible being injured is just not there. There's no sense in it. And the last thing I've given up with my fitness and my wellness and everything is comparison. I don't compare myself to anybody else. I'm 48 years old, about to be 49. And I am what I deserve to be. What does that mean? I've been working out for the last 36 years. I started when I was 12 years old. I am where I deserve to be. I don't deserve to be any fitter. I don't deserve to be any bigger. I don't deserve to be any more muscular. I don't deserve to have better looking arms or legs or abs or whatever it is. I deserve what it is that I am today based on the effort that I've put in for the last 36 years. And I've come to be comfortable with that. And I think social media, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit, is one of the biggest deterrents for people and why they feel so bad about themselves is that you're comparing yourself to somebody else's highlight reel, to somebody else's perfect lighting, to somebody else's pump when you're just in your natural state, to somebody else's like angle or whatever it might be, to somebody else who's 20 years younger than you are and on gear. Like you're comparing yourself to nonsensical things for nonsensical reasons. And so that's one of the things that I've given up, but it's made a massive benefit in my life. Now, do I still strive to be bigger and better and all those kind of things? Absolutely. Like I'm still working out on a daily basis because I want to be fit. I want to look good forever. I want to be an example of what is possible if you treat your body with love and respect and all of those things. But I'm not going to compare myself to you or anybody else because we're just individual. Let's go to sleep. What have I given up when it comes to sleep? I've given up late nights. I've given up any kind of TV consumption before bed that might have an aggressive overtone because I've got a brain that if I consume anything, then I will relive it the entire night. So let's say I watched a World War II documentary. That night when I'm asleep, I'm going to war. I'm going to be in the trenches in World War II. I don't know why my brain works like that, but it does. And so I know I've had to get, if I watched a scary movie when I was a kid, I would be in that scary movie all night long getting chased by Freddy Krueger. And so I learned that I cannot consume things before I go to bed because it will live inside of my brain. So I have to be very careful on what I consume. I have to consume positive, powerful, mindful messages before bed, if any consumption at all. I've given up any, there's no social media at night for me. And there's only minimal interaction during the day with that. I'll talk about that later on as we get into a different topic. But there's no social media interaction, alcohol consumption, because it impacts my sleep negatively. I've given up afternoon caffeine consumption. I've given up unnecessary communication and conversations. What does that mean? Have you ever had a communication or a conversation an hour to 30 minutes before you went to bed that was unsettling? Maybe it was a conversation that needed to be had, but it was unsettling. It was something that just was not in the vein of calm and peacefulness. Massively disrupts your sleep, right? You think about it all night long. You might even be up all night long. So I've actually put a stop to any unnecessary communication and conversation. And that sounds a little crazy, but it is so massively beneficial, because if it can wait till tomorrow, which means if it can't, that means it's catastrophic and I'm probably not going to be sleeping anyway, then it can wait till tomorrow. And we have those conversations, or I have those conversations with the people that I need to have those with in the morning, so that it can be digested and processed, right? So I've given up those. Let's move on to a different category. Let's move on to the category of personal elimination, relationship elimination, and people. Now, people get weird about this one, because you're probably like, what do you mean elimination of people? Stay with me for a second. People get really weird about this, but I'm here to tell you that if you get this one, if you address this one, you correct it and you clean it up, and you get clarity around your relationships and the people that are in your life, and you do some elimination, you do some removal, and you do some cleanup, it is like being released from a 1,000-pound anchor. I'm here to tell you right now, your life will suffer if you attach yourself to people who are suffering. And I'm going to get to that in a second. Like, I'm not saying turn your back on people who are suffering. I'm going to be very clear about this. I'm talking about people who are suffering intentionally, not people who are going through a hard time. You'll get clarity around this when I finish. So don't think that I'm a crazy person and just psychopathic. But I can tell you this, my life has improved exponentially with the removal of the following. And this is some personal stuff too. Let's start with personal. Personally, I removed and deleted my old story that life was hard for me and that everyone I love has to die. Now, they do at some point, but I had a belief system when I was younger that everybody I loved, if I loved you enough, you'd just die and I wouldn't have you anymore. Horrible way to grow up, horrible way to live. And my old story was that life has to suck for me. Life's going to be hard for me. It's why I wrote my second book, The Purpose of Pain, right? How to turning tragedy into triumph, because life's not supposed to suck. I believe life was supposed to suck. That was my old belief system. That was my old story. And I had to write a book about it to eradicate it. But I gave it up. I eliminated it. My life is amazing. My life is ridiculously, unbelievably awesome. So I gave up my old story, and you should too. I gave up comparison. I say it again. I just said it a while ago. I gave up comparison. Social media's number one goal is to get you to compare your real life to someone else's highlight reel of bullshit. That's all it is. That is absolutely all it is. I've given that up. Like, I'm not going to compare my real life. I would not change my life for anybody. And I'm not going to compare my life to somebody else's BS social media highlight reel. So I consume social media very, very, very. And I'm not even a consumer. I'll talk about that in a second. This is how you got to have a mindset shift on this. I've given up comparison. What else personally have I given up? I've given up the consumption of negativity. I've given up the consumption of drama or nonsense. I've given up other people's narratives. Right. I don't allow other people to influence or impact my belief systems and my mindset. That's not to say that I can't be my mindset or my ideas can't be changed. I love beautiful conversations, but you're never going to influence somebody with negativity, drama, or nonsense. So I've given them up. I don't watch the news. I don't read the news. I don't watch mass market television, meaning I don't watch the housewives of Who Gives a Shit. I don't watch any of that nonsense. I don't consume social media. Hear me here. I don't consume it. I create it. I'm a creator, not a consumer. And that's what you should be. If you want to be on social media, be a creator of social media. Be a creator of positivity and powerful messages. Don't be a consumer of somebody else's. And I also say this to say that I'm on social media because I am inside of a business that requires me to be on social media. I have made the decision to live my life trying to help other people get healthy and fit, both mentally, physically, emotionally, and just totally. I've dedicated my life to helping other people optimize themselves. And so that requires me to be out there. It requires me to be on social media. But you're never going to find me doing anything negative on those spaces. I'm trying to create a positive ecosystem of powerful, abundant people that believe in awesomeness, that want love and happiness and joy and bliss. And that's all I'm about. And so I'm creating that. I'm not going to consume somebody else's nonsense. I gave it up. I also gave up the need to be right. This is a big one. When I was younger, I was a fighter. And I was a fighter because I was afraid. I was afraid for a lot of reasons. A lot of like things happened to me when my youth, and I was afraid. And that fear translated into thinking that I needed to be right all the time, that I couldn't be loved, that I couldn't be good enough if I wasn't always right, if people didn't think that I was right. It was a horrible way to live. And I gave it up. I gave up the need to be right or righteous. It's okay if you don't think I'm right. It's okay if you don't like what I have to say or believe what I have to say or even care what I have to say. It's totally okay. I also gave up what I just mentioned, fear. And I gave up contrived pain and struggle. And I say that contrived pain and struggle because I created the story. I created the story that I was in pain, that I had to struggle. And that translated itself into fear and anger and nonsense in my life. And I've just given it up. Life is easy for me. Life is freaking awesome for me. I have the best life on the planet. I don't know anybody who has a better life than I do. I love my life. I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. I'm not angry. I'm not in pain. I don't struggle. All of that has gone away. And I just, because I made the decision to give it up. Here's a big one. I also gave up being a perfectionist. This came back to my youth. I felt like the only way I could be loved if I was perfect. Created that story for myself. Sat in the front row in class. Wanted to get straight A's. First one in, last one out. Thought I had to be the best player on the team. Like I couldn't struggle. I couldn't miss a day. I never missed. You know the fun fact about Jay? I never missed a day of school. Ever. I got perfect attendance every single year. I think I might've missed a couple of days when I was having like a surgery or something like that, but it was like it was something I couldn't avoid, but never because I didn't want to be at school. I wanted to be at school. I would fake not being sick. I'd be sick as a dog. My mom'd be like, "You're sick." I'd be like, not a chance. I go to school. I love school. I don't want to miss anything. I wanted to be perfect. I gave that up, guys. I heard this quote the other day and it was from a movie producer. And they said, if you want to guarantee that the audience hates a character, hates them, make that character perfect. Think about that. Think about all the movies you've watched. If they try to put a perfect character in that, man, do you hate that Joker, right? But all of us are out there striving for this weird perfectionism thing that really doesn't even exist. It's actually a mythical thing that was constructed by I don't even know who, but I'd like to have a chat with them. Because there's no such thing. You just got to be your absolute best. You got to be your best. Forget perfectionism. It's BS. It's nonsensical. It doesn't happen. It's not even a real thing. It's made up. All right, let's talk about relationships. That's a big one. Guys, I'm telling you, these things changed my life exponentially. Me giving up all those things personally changed my life. And then the next stage really changed it. Like my life got better when I deleted some people from, so when I say that sounds so harsh, it actually sounds like I'm an asshole. And I don't mean it that way at all. What I mean is, if you think about time, which is our greatest commodity, and you think about being present in that time and being available in that time and being the best version of yourself in that time, you can't give the best of yourself to 100 people. You might be able to, like if you're on stage and you're giving a speech for 30 minutes, then yeah, of course you can. I'm talking like life. I'm talking about the best of yourself day in, day out, 24/7, 365. You can't do that for 100 people. So you've got to really define your circle of success and your circle of influence and your circle of love and your circle of awesomeness or whatever you want to call it. And so what I had to give up in my life and what made my life exponentially better, because you will never out-index. Listen to me. You'll never out-index your circle of influence, your peer group, What does that mean? That means you'll never grow beyond them. You might get a little bit out there, but they'll pull you back. They won't even know they're pulling you back, but they'll pull you back and you'll pull yourself back. You'll never out-index that. You'll never outgrow negative people. You'll never outgrow them. You can't do it. So what I had to give up in my relationships is I gave up net negative people. And what does that mean? I say net negative for a reason. Everybody's entitled to have a bad day. Everybody's entitled to go through some crap. Everybody's entitled to struggle. Everybody's entitled to be down. What I mean by net negative is that they're way more negative than they are positive. Even the most positive people I know, they have moments. I have moments, right? But they're not, it's not net, right? So think about that. What are the people in your life? Are they net negative or are they net positive? So I had to give up all net negative people. I also gave up non-reciprocity-based people. So all reciprocity means is give and take, back and forth. And here's what I can tell you is if you're one of my friends, if you're in my life, I'm going to outfriend you. And I mean that in the most best, I mean that in the best way possible. And it's not a competition, but if you're in my life, I'm going to give you everything I've got. I'm a guy you can call at any time of the night, any place. If you're in my circle of success, then you've got carte blanche to ask for anything, anytime, any place, anywhere. And the answer is yes. But it's got to be reciprocity. And what I learned through my life is that I'm a giver. And I noticed that I was always giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. And I'm not a taker. I don't take from people. And so what I noticed is that the people I was giving to didn't have the desire to give back. And so what I did is I removed all non-reciprocity-based people from my life. And the people I have in my life now, like I will give them, I'll give them everything I've got because they'll do the same for me, right? That's so important. Like there's no leeches in my life. I've removed all negative, dramatic, and nonsensical people. I've removed all people who find problems for every solution. So I don't have people in my life that are negative. I don't have people in my life that are dramatic, full of nonsense, find problems for every solution. I've also removed all argumentative and aggressive people from my life. People with unstable personalities, rude people. I had to get rid of them. Like there's no place and space for that. Our frequencies just don't match, right? I've removed all low frequency people. What I mean by frequency is just those, that energetic match that you know that you're connected. Like, so there's a lot of things that go into that circle of success mantra for me. It's like, we got to be connected on a frequency, meaning we can be in the same room. We don't have to say a word and we just know. We can be in the same room. And I know if the shit hits the fan, that if you're in my circle, we've got the same mindset. We're doing the same thing to help the same people to do the same stuff. You've got my back, even when I don't need you to have it. And I've got yours. I've got rid of all people that are willingly stuck. What does that mean? That means people who are given the opportunity to get unstuck, but choose to stay stuck because they're comfortable in that story. It's not for me to change that person. It's not for me to change any of these people. And I'm not better than anybody. Anybody that I've parted ways with and moved from what I would say, I think the word friend is way overused, but I moved from friend to acquaintance. Like there's people in my life that I'm quote unquote, that aren't in my circle of success that, man, I love them to death. Would love to have a conversation with them. Would love to chat with them, but not here, right? They're not in the circle. So when I say that I've removed these people, I'm not like walking around with my nose in the air being like, I can never talk to these people again. If you're negative, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my core ethos and my core values of who's on my bus, like who's on the success train with me, right? You can't have bad apples. One bad apple will ruin the bushel. You've got to be able to get rid of it. I've also removed people with no passion or no ambition. I can't be around people who don't have a passion and ambition. I've had some friends in the past that were just okay being okay. And that was okay. But we don't have anything in common. What are we going to talk about? Like, I'm going to call you and be like, hey, dude, I'm writing another book. Hey, dude, I just started another business. Dude, I just made this amount of money. Dude, I'm going on this 5-star vacation. And you're like, oh, I'm just doing what I always do. Don't care. No ambition, no drive, no passion. The frequencies don't match. I can love you to death, but I can't have you on my, I can't have you on the bus. Right. And lastly, I gave up victims. I gave up people who think life happens to them instead of for them. You want to be in my circle of my life, you got to believe life's happening for you. You got to be a conqueror. You got to be able to overcome. You got to be ambitious. You got to be passionate. You got to be willing. You got to be awesome. You got to be sweet. You got to be nice. You got to be full of love. Can't be have negativity or drama. You know what I'm talking about. The people that when you leave their presence, you feel like a million bucks. Surround yourself with those people. That's your people. That's your tribe. If you're surrounding yourself with net negative people, guess what? That means you're net negative. If you're surrounding yourself with unhealthy people, guess what? You're not going to get healthy. You might try for a minute, but you won't make it. You won't. They're anchors. It's an anchor. Fear is an anchor. Negativity is an anchor. Comparison is an anchor. Perfectionism is an anchor. All this is about is removing yourself from the anchors. So I gave you two examples today, like two areas of my life. I didn't get into like money or business or faith or any of those things. I kind of talked about my health and fitness, my wellness, and my personal. Right? Those are two big buckets, but you got to look at your life as a 360-degree synergistic awesomeness. So where in every bucket of your life could you remove or delete something that would get you better, that would make you better? Give some thought to that question. And then just start making a list, right? And it's not about being crazy and thinking, like I said, like I don't think, like I think it's touchy, right? When you start talking about like relationship removal, like that's the wrong terminology, but there's no other way to really say it. Like we all know people that are holding us back in life. We all do. And it's hard. It's challenging to say, you know what? This relationship really isn't serving either one of us. Because it's true. If you're a high achiever, if you're a go-getter, if you've got passion and ambition and you want happiness and abundance and awesomeness in your life, and the people you're hanging around are negative and drama-filled, and don't care about life, okay, just being stuck and miserable, it's not serving you. It's not serving them. You probably annoy the crap out of them. I am 100% certain that if you don't believe like I believe, as far as like living in abundance and happiness and life is amazing and gratitude and let's keep going, let's get bigger and better and bolder and more awesome. Like if you're not that kind of person, I am annoying. I am ridiculously annoying. You don't want to be around me because I'm the kind of guy, if you bring me a problem, I am not going to ruminate with you on your problem. I'm going to give you 27 solutions and then I'm going to have my bag packed. You're going to be like, where are we going? And I'm like, we're going to solve the problem. People don't want to be around people like that, that aren't problem solvers. So I'm annoying. But if you are, I'm a good dude to have in your circle. So if you're that person, if you're like me, you might need to do some removal, some deletion. Remember, here's the question again, so you remember. What can I remove or delete without damaging the integrity of the mission? What's the mission? The integrity of what it is that you want out of life. What's important to you? And again, I'll say mine again. My mission is abundance, happiness, joy, love, and freedom. Like personal optimization. And I know if I'm living in all those, like if I've got all those fields, then that's where I'm at. That's the alignment that I need. Because if I'm in that alignment, money comes to me easily and freely. Happiness comes to me easily and freely. Health comes to me easily and freely. Relationships come to me easily and freely. Like abundant life is awesome, guys. I didn't believe it was for a long time. I did not believe it was for a long time. From when I was five, from the age of 5 to 25, I thought life sucked. And then I woke up at 25 and I realized that I was missing an opportunity and that I vowed to spend the rest of my life chasing that opportunity, living in that opportunity, believing in that opportunity. And the only way you can do that is if you get clarity about what it is that you want. And then you remove everything that doesn't fit. It's not an alignment. So I've said the word alignment several times. Alignment means that you're in the right place, in the right space, with the right people and the right attitude and the right tools and resources and everything to get what it is that you want to get. You still got to do the work. You still have to do the work. But when you're in alignment, man, does life feel good. Man, does life feel abundant. Just feels so awesome. And I want that for you. So I hope this helps you. Just one of the many questions that I ask myself. I know I went off on a little rant, a little tangent there, but what can I remove or delete without damaging the integrity of the mission? Something to think about. I hope you think about it. Let me know if you do. Let me know what you've thought about. Let me know the areas of your life that you think would be beneficial if you gave them some adjustments. All right. Be awesome to yourself. Be awesome to each other. Love you. Hey, before you go, I'd just like to say thank you again for listening to the Thrive Forever Fit podcast and watching on YouTube. It means the absolute world to me. And if you would do me one favor, and that is simply subscribe and review this podcast on whatever platform it is that you enjoy it on, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, doesn't matter. I would absolutely be so grateful and so thankful if you do that for me. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you again next week with an awesome, awesome episode. Bye.